off.
Sounds like my wife describing me. All right, guys, this is Paul Wilson.
Oh, my God.
And Chris Emke.
Thank you for joining us. You're listening to Diesel Performance Podcast. If you couldn't tell, today we have on the legendary Katie Pajeska. Katie, how the hell are you?
I'm good. How are you guys?
Doing great.
We're excited. Just the pre-gaming of conversation. You're amped. You're hyped. You're ready to talk about some diesel truck stuff, so we appreciate you being on.
Diesel trucks and whatnot. Now, Katie, for anybody who's been living under a rock or maybe brand new to diesel, give us a little bit of your rundown. What's your history in diesel performance?
Oh, God. So, fun fact, I started with a Cummins.
Smart.
Regretted that decision. Yeah, that was terrible. I had a third gen. It was black. Also regretted that decision. Told myself after that truck, never again will I buy a black vehicle.
Damn, so I had Chris. That for, she yeah. is just ripping you apart. Just the most passive aggressive.
I got rid of the black,
ever had.
Black Cummins too.
You have a black vehicle today, don't you?
My wagon. Yeah.
Yeah, wagon. Yeah. I'm sorry. Go ahead, Katie.
Yeah,
Katie. You had a black third gen Cummins. You hated it because they're terrible decisions.
Oh, terrible decision. So then in 2009, I bought the LB7. So I've had that truck since 2009. I bought it on eBay, actually. Paid a whopping $14,000 for it in 2009.
Wow.
That actually was pricey. Then, yeah.
Right? Back then, yeah. I think at the time it had just over 100,000 miles on it. You know, and then it was, well, let's level it and put different wheels on it, tow mirrors, right? And I hated all that. So we've been through, yeah, that truck and I have been through about 30 different, like, look changes. I'm happy where it is now, but it doesn't fit. I wish I didn't lower it as much. It doesn't fit on a trailer. Yeah. So I do have that issue. You know, started with basic upgrades, EFI Live, 366 and 60% over Extra G injectors with an air dog pump. And then it turned into a full engine build, which was the last podcast I did with you guys. So mm-hmm. that was in 2015,
2016. Sure. Yeah. It was right at the beginning of the podcast, nonetheless.
Yeah, I totally remember
then,
it.
I've been through probably 8 different transmission builds.
Jesus.
Yeah, I'm hard on it, that's for sure. And then here we are today. Fresh engine build.
Let's talk a little bit about the truck. So I think it had a pretty big name when you were talking about that S366 combo,
yeah.
Right? That's really when you started to hit the scene and be really active in the forums and the Facebook groups and things like that. Does that sound about right?
Yeah.
What were you doing with the truck? It was just a daily driver back then. You were hitting the race circuit. You were doing dyno days. What was it for?
Daily driving, dyno days, and we'd hit the drag strip like every Friday night.
And what was the truck running like? So for the listeners, it was a stock bottom end truck with, you know, a fuel system and a turbocharger, Biltrans. What were you running when you were at the track? And again, well over a decade ago.
When I switched to Duramax tuner and Nick and Bob were tuning back then, I had a different tuner previous to that. You know, the truck didn't run the best. And then I switched to you guys and then it ran in it got into the 11s.
Cooking.
Okay. I don't remember the exact time slip, but it was, you know, 11s. And then I was like, well, I want a faster truck.
So what preempted you to do that? Was it just that you wanted a faster truck? Did you have an engine issue, head gasket, engine problem,
you blew
anything
it up,
like
didn't
that?
You? Don't I remember
no,
that?
No, no, no. So the block that was in the truck until just now was the factory block that came with it. I'd never wow. had injector issues. I never had head gasket issues. I didn't have a single issue with this truck.
Okay. So then the truck comes to the shop here, right? We ended up getting the truck over the summer this past year. And the truck came to us. What was the reason for the truck coming here? What were you running into?
So under high boost, it was leak coolant. So a head gasket was either starting to go or it did go. And I just don't have the time to do it, you know, myself these days, you know, with my other hobbies and other vehicles. So that and then the defuel and the tuning, which was an issue at the track.
Yeah.
So I brought it down to you guys, drove it 6 hours down from Minnesota down to Illinois.
It had
brought
a really...
it to you guys.
Talk to the listeners about the cool catch can you guys had made, you and your boyfriend.
The water bottle?
Yeah, the catch can.
It was a great catch can for it the was. Overflow of coolant.
It really was. It was slick.
There's apparently duct tape somewhere on that truck. I don't know where. I don't know if you guys found it. I have no idea. And then I think there's duct tape somewhere holding something together. I don't know where. Nothing important.
Just such a fucking important. LD7 owner thing to say. So like, there's duct tape somewhere on it holding something together. Like, I don't know what it is,
right?
But
yeah, and
we
I
use duct tape
this.
At some point, right?
Yeah, and I shouldn't admit this, but like, fuck it, you know what the fuck?
Duct tape strong.
I don't see it. If I don't see it, you don't fucking see it. So fuck it.
I mean, duct tape's pretty strong. Maybe just add a couple more layers to it.
Exactly. Yeah. So yeah, I brought it down for a head gasket and a retune, and I was hoping it'd be maybe a couple weeks, come back down, hit the track down there, and then it turned into
Well, there were some findings. There were some findings in that truck. Now, I know in our conversations back and forth, you know, not a ton of miles have been put on the truck. I think when we were talking, like 4,000 or maybe 5,000 miles since 2015 till now took place, correct?
Yeah, about 5,000 miles.
And, you know, do a head gasket test. The test comes back, no bueno. You know, we know we're pulling the heads off. And what did we, I mean, you could tell the listeners, right, since you were given the bad news, what was the findings in the block and what was the findings in the head?
So if I'm not mistaken, the head was corroded due to probably water somewhere in the system somehow, you know, some way or another. And then was it every cylinder wall was scored?
Yeah.
Then it gets even better. I don't know if, because I don't know how deep, you know, Pfeiffer's dug into it. So, you know, the engine went out to Miller Machine in Pennsylvania. When he dug into it, the block was actually cracked.
Wow.
Damn.
Do you know where the block was cracked?
I don't. I never even asked. He said it was cracked. And I was like, oh, great. That's fantastic. Just what I wanted.
Yeah. So there was like, for the listeners, electrolysis, right? Where the coolant actually eats away at the casting on the head. Yeah. And like the head looked like a canyon, you know, through the ports, like just deteriorated, eaten away. And generally that stuff from contamination, truck sitting, stuff like that. So it was not something, you know, like Katie said, we literally, when she was here, drop off the truck, we're like, yeah, hopefully 3-4 weeks, you're back down here. We're going to the local drag strip. We'll get the time out of the truck that we've been wanting. And, you know, you can load it back up on the trailer or drive it back home. Because, you know, Katie was very prideful about driving the truck from Minnesota here.
Yeah.
And it was here in one piece. You know, it was super cool that, you know, the truck could be that versatile. But ended up, unfortunately, not turning out the way we had initially planned in any way.
Now,
I mean,
now do you regret not
mileage.
Having your Cummins?
Right?
No, because it would be rusted beyond belief with oil leaks everywhere.
I mean, so what you just told me was the truck would self-preserve itself with undercoating. So I don't know what the fuck we're talking about.
Cum dog at its peak, man.
The frame might be in one piece from all the oil underneath of it, but the body would be so rusted, there would be nothing left of it.
Well, I'll give you credit where credit's due. The truck, for the age of it, not even the age of it, just the truck itself, like, it still looks... It looks awesome.
It's so clean.
And I think...
It's sitting in our shop right now. I was just walking by on a smoke break. Checking it out.
It's one of those things where, you know, on this call, we've all been in diesel for well over a decade, 15 years, you know, decade, whatever the case may be. And there was a style of a truck 10, 15 years ago that was unarguable, right? That street truck-esque look.
Yeah.
And that is what, you know, the LB7 looks like to this day. And it still looks fresh. It doesn't look dated. The setup doesn't look dated. It's still very modern. It's a looker, to say the least.
Yeah. So
I appreciate that. Thank you.
We don't want to give you too many compliments now. So
yeah,
that'll
Paul
be the
that
only
it's
one.
Okay. Daily.
It's okay.
Okay. But you have put a lot of time and effort into the looks of the truck. Do you have any plans from here? Once you get it back, is it time for fresh colors? Is it time for a makeover? Are we doing a new wheel setup? What is the future of the aesthetics of the truck going to look like for you?
You know, unfortunately, the LB7 just is not my priority anymore. You know, I love the truck. I've contemplated getting rid of it, but it's like, I'll never get any money back. As we all know, when it comes to automotive industry, whether it's diesel trucks or cars or whatever it is, once you start modifying things and you want to sell, you will never get your money back. You know, I'm 2 engine builds now into this truck on top of numerous other things. So to sell it, there is no price. And then I would miss it, you know.
Well,
it's just one of those things.
I've always looked at it like when I had my Evo, you know, years back, you know, I put a shit ton of money into that I would love to forget about ever spending on because I just was never in love with the car. But I would always have issues with the car. And then I sold it. And the guy that I sold the car to had good luck with it. Or my 07 Dodge. Like, that's exactly the point. I put the time and energy into it, right? And you know, we talk about...
So what that car needed was a driver mod.
Yeah, for sure.
Right. Okay.
So, but it's one of those things where it's like you put money into something and then you put time into something and the time's more valuable than the money, and that's something that a lot of people don't talk about when they do these projects. Then
the
you go...
Time is more... you're talking really fast. Let me process
time
that.
Is worth more than the money that you put into some of this stuff.
Yeah.
Okay. Okay, I can see that. I can see that.
It is.
When you
know, I got that truck in 2009. We're in 2020 fucking 4.
Yeah.
You know, all these years, I don't think I'd change anything. I would love to paint it, but, you know, I can't. You know, that truck,
what
if
would
you see it.
What
if
would
you
do?
I would paint it gray to match my Mark IV Supra.
You're such a nerd. Oh, my God. All right. I know you're dying to talk about it. Go ahead. Tell our listeners very, very quickly.
How you transferred from diesel to gas.
About the little car that you drive.
And how
go
you
ahead.
Missed, hold on, how you missed your inline six coming so bad that you
Shut
had to go
up.
And buy an inline six gas engine
fuck
to make up the difference.
You.
That's
fuck
the most Minnesota
you.
Fuck
no.
you I've heard.
Fuck you. I need an
no,
A
no.
after that.
So... It's kind of funny. So when I got this car specifically, so I built the truck in 2015, as we've just established. I bought the car in 2016 and have modded this car to the way that it is today from now a second full paint job. You know, I'm on this inline fucking sixes. 2Js are indestructible is a lie. I'm on my third engine.
So what is this like is this like you know, you have like
your car needs a driver mod? Is that what you're saying?
No, never.
It's like everybody else is saying that they could stand up to a fucking nuke, but
so I got the car in 2016, so it's a Mark 93 Mark IV Super Target Top, originally Baltic Blue 6-speed car. I painted it gray, you know, basic as can be. The original engine in that car, it blew up immediately after I got it. So it was air quotes here. It was air quotes here built, right?
So hold on. Was it a short shift and not double clutching like you should type thing?
100%.
I'm fucking
100%. Here's the thing. You know, that truck might have all the torque in the world, but the fucking car is way faster and it makes more power.
Well, now let's get into that. How much power did the car make last time you were on the dyno?
1150 with the clutch starting to slip.
How many other people have made 1150 in one of those?
A lot.
Okay.
Yeah, 1,000 horsepower is what people, they assume a Mark IV has. They don't. You know, it takes a lot. You know, it's a full engine build. Rods, pistons, big injectors, big turbo. You know, it's not your everyday Mark IV. Now, there are plenty of Mark IVs that make well over, you know, 1,200 horsepower. So 1150 for a daily street driving car, that's a lot of power with no traction control.
It is. No question. I joke. They're cool cars. I do totally.
I've always
get it.
Wanted one. I think they're a timeless car once again.
I think it's ironic that you have that and an LB7.
I know.
Just because the LB7 is like, you could have had the same money that you've invested in your LB7 and likely own a new L5P one.
Yeah, but.
Two.
Yuck.
What's fun is that?
Lame. Yeah.
Two.
Fuck that.
You have two very outdated vehicles with more horsepower than you're ever going to need in them.
So that's That's a lie.
Is it? Is it a lie?
Fuck that. No. You always need more power. Mm-hmm. So locally, I believe maybe one other Mark IV, and it's an automatic, and he drag races it. I think him and I are the two highest horsepower Mark IVs in Minnesota.
So is the goal to have one of the highest horsepower Duramaxes in the area then, too?
There's only one other guy in Minnesota that I know of that has a decently built Duramax.
Okay.
I don't know the power numbers off of it. You know, I don't keep up with truck stuff anymore. You know, it's just the truck kind of, you know, it makes me sad.
So what's the motivation to doing the new motor, doing the new setup, which I'd like to back into a little bit more, but what's the motivation behind wanting to get into this project and, you know, seeing it through, going to the track, getting the time out of it? Is it just a nostalgic thing because you've owned the truck so long and it's like you're married to it? Do you have a little passion for, you know, diesel truck stuff still, and it's just like it's an inkling in the back of your mind? Like, what was the motivation behind wanting to back into that project again?
You know, the goal for the truck, even back in 2015 when we built it, was to run a 10-second pass. That's all I want out of it, is a fucking 10-second fucking pass. You know, the build, if I'm not mistaken, is similar to what was the regular cab from you guys back in the day. So it should run it, but it never did. And then it was one thing after another with the coolant leak and, you know, this, that, and the other.
There were some transmission issues, converter issues. Right. Like, there have been some ongoing, you know, gremlins or whatever that, you know, need to get worked out. And it was one of the things that, you know, the truck came to us for tuning. Worley had built the truck. You know, you come down, you pick up the truck, go back to Minnesota. Don't really hear from you for several years. And then you kind of pop up and you're like, hey, remember me?
Hey.
By the way, this is what we have going on. So for the listeners, you know, we know it's an LB7 truck, but what is the current setup that you're going to be coming out with the truck in the year 2024?
So 03 LB7, full engine build, rods, pistons, you know, all the good stuff, girdle, XYZ, alternate fire cam, turbos, what is it? 91 millimeter. And I believe it's a 64.5.
Correct.
The stealth.
Yep.
Okay. That's what I thought. Jeremy said something different in a video and I was like, that ain't right. But it's a 91 with a 64.5 stealth in the valley. This dual CP3s, two 10 millimeter pumps, Exergy, and then I decided to upgrade injectors from 150 overs to 250 overs.
Okay. So
it's funny to talk about injector sizes between the trucks and the cars.
Because we go by
percentages with trucks. So when I started getting into cars, I'm like, the fuck are you talking about?
CCs?
What? You want what? CCs? What?
Yep.
What the fuck? So, you know, going into the car scene coming from the truck, I get so fucking confused. Turbo sizes are the way they talk about them is different. Like I run a 72, 75 on the car. Well, I run a 91 millimeter and a 64.5 on the truck. It's so different, but it's all the same. But yeah, so 250 over injectors, and that is the main change. Everything else stayed the same.
Well, besides the trans, because we ended up going through...
Right. Technically the block, it did get O-ringed, and some other stuff got done to it as well from Miller.
Okay. And then the trans gone through, converter, all that good stuff. So the hope is that we can get this truck to shift at high horsepower without any defueling. Ideally with the converter stall scenario, we can get the truck to build boost and launch on the line, right? Because you were having issues with that prior. And
yeah.
Ideally get the trans to shift correctly and go from A to B in 10 seconds or less.
That's the goal.
10.99. That's the goal. All right.
I mean,
that's fine.
Yeah.
That's a 10-second pass call.
It is. Yes.
The problem is, as we all know, when it comes to safety equipment, right? So trucks are different than cars, and years matter too. So newer stuff doesn't have as much restrictions. You can go faster without a cage. The truck is an 11.49. You need a full teched in cage.
Yeah, but I think a lot of that too, like different drag strips are going to be more discretionary with that.
Yeah.
Union Grove, like our local track, I've been there countless times with 10-second trucks, and they're not going to kick you out. Now, you go blaze a 9.5-second pass off the trailer, you know, that might be a little bit different of a story, but you know, to have a truck go, you know, middle high tens, I mean, they've been usually pretty good with that stuff.
Yeah, I want to say Byron, we got flagged one time for being too fast without a cage.
Yeah.
But yeah, a lot of them. You and also, by the way, you always get one pass.
Yeah, yeah, just make it count.
Yeah. Like, yeah, make it count. Exactly.
Your worst case scenario is you get one good pass, so make it good.
I mean, the way you should do it is, you know, you get your launch down, get your 60-foot down, let out at the eighth, you know, make sure it's launching right before you just send it.
No, for sure. I agree with that.
You know, and so plus, here...
Plus, you get the trans to start learning its shift patterns, its shift characteristics. You know, honestly, doing two or three or four passes that way, Katie, is less stress on the drive line than just, you know, pedal to the metal, one pass, make it count type thing.
Right. You know, and here, you know, it was. It ran an 11.00, and I got kicked out of the track.
Oh. Oof. I had a 10-second goal with one of my project cars. The car went 11.00 at over 130, and the motor blew up. So, you know, I said, if I could run a 10, I'm good.
Technically, the truck ran 11.00, and it was, you know, who knows when this motor decided to emo itself.
Yeah, that's true.
You know, it off itself, and that's why we're in this
emo situation. Itself.
Yeah, that's it went full emo. It went full emo on me, and well, here block, we are today.
The block cracked, so that could be a cut. You know, so there we are.
You know, and now it's not even an LB7 block anymore; it's an LBZ block.
So it's an LBZ7.
Yeah. I forgot we changed heads. So now I'm running the fleece head.
The cupless heads.
Correct. Yeah.
So now, to a lot of our listeners, you know, you're big on social media, right? You've done some crazy things with your Instagram and followers and stuff like that, and a lot of the content that you create is based around your Supra, right? Is there going to be more content to come out regarding the truck? Is there going to be like Supra LB7 content?
The LB7 Katie handle and run two handles? Some real Tom Henny shit going on?
That will never happen. LB7 Katie is dead. There is no more LB7.
She emoed herself.
She emoed herself.
But you said that you're going to.
God.
You said you're going to revive the vanity plate, though.
I am going to revive the vanity plate, mainly because my Supra plate is 2JZ Katie.
So you just wanted to pair.
2JZ Katie, got it. Okay.
You just wanted to. Right. You just wanted to pair.
I wanted to pair.
Matchy, matchy. We talked about this.
We talked about this in the pregame, right? You know, so the truck, the engine bay, I take engine bays very serious. I like things to be tasteful. I like things to be clean. I don't like things to be overly female in your face. And I take a lot of pride in, you know, a dude can jump in my truck and it's a dude truck. You know, no one's going to be like, oh, that's a chick truck. It's pink, right? You know, pink's fine. If dudes like pink, that's fine. But some women, it's too much. So I take engine bays very serious. So with the truck, if you knew in the past or know the truck, it was, you know, red. All the powder coating was done by Whirly and it was red. So originally the Super was supposed to match with red. That didn't happen. It's purple. So now the truck matches the car with purple. So the plate has to kind of go yin and yang as well.
But it's not an ATS thing.
No, it's not an ATS thing. I do have. Do I have an ATS converter? I don't know.
I don't think that's the case anymore.
I was gonna say I don't think it is. I think it's a Gorind again. Yep. Started with a Gorind, switched to an ATS, and then we ending with a Gorind. Perfect.
Yep.
Love it.
Anybody need an ATS converter? I'll sell it.
Yeah, we could get it shipped out.
Hit up 2Jazzy Katie on Instagram. And, you can get yourself that used ATS converter I know you're pining for.
This past year, the Supra was at SEMA, correct?
Correct.
So is there a potential that the LB7 will go to SEMA?
So, no. But I am going to SEMA again.
I love that she just slapped you in the face with that. Like, I feel like you're an idiot. No.
I feel like the truck is the redheaded stepchild. Like, you're just fucking embarrassed by it at this point.
Well, so hear me out. You know, coming up through the automotive industry and SEMA and all this stuff. So 2023 was my first time ever at SEMA. Never been. First time ever. And not only do I get to go, but I have a car inside a convention center. So it was kind of surreal to be there. And then I ran into like Ray McClelland, you know, there. And I'm like, oh, shit, you know, what's up? Known you forever. And he's like, you're here with a car? like, that's kind of weird. Like, all, you know, all these years I would have assumed to have been there with a truck, right? But let's take a second here. And that, you know, I don't like to talk a lot of shit, but we've seen the trucks at SEMA. We fucking seen them at SEMA. They don't even have drive shafts.
Yeah.
You know, the truck stuff. Now, if I ended up at a booth inside a convention, like a hall, that would be different, right? Banks was there. I stopped and talked to them. You know, there's potential there. But the truck, like you said, it's outdated. It's not anything new. It's not anything exciting. It's looked the same since 2015. I've done nothing different with it. So would the truck ever go to SEMA? No. Do I want to be in an outside lot with all the trucks in the truck alley? Absolutely the fuck not.
Why not? I mean, listen, let's just hear my pitch out. Spinners, sunroof
mod.
Oh,
yes.
Like
sunroof mod.
Full gold trim everywhere that there's black. So anywhere that there's black, sparkly gold. Like glitter, like my three-year-old daughter, glitter gold.
Greg A has that whole gold thing for him going. Gold in the white LV7 is not going to work for me. It's not going to cut it. Remember when I just said I have a thing for engine bays that are done tastefully?
Yeah.
Let's not throw.
Katie, if anybody knows Paul firsthand, it would be tasteless.
How dare you?
It's okay.
The audacity. I
cannot believe these atrocities I'm hearing.
So then what's the goal with the truck, right? The truck's together. You found that out on TikTok. So thanks. Shout out Jeremy.
Yeah, thanks.
Super tech. Jeremy Garnett.
So he might have misinformed his followers on some of the setup of the truck, but we'll let that slide. He'll do
an update. Maybe it's just strategic.
He had me questioning what the fuck I had done to my own truck.
He makes me question why I show up to work every day, so we're good.
I was like, wait, that's not a 400 frame, and that's not a 67. What turbos are on this truck? I went through and looked through old invoices I have from Whirly from 2015 to verify that I know what, you know, because I talk about the truck all the time. Yeah. Like, you know, I know the mods to it, just like I do for the Supra. Yeah. I know it inside and out. So when, you know, somebody says something different, I'm like, wait, what? That's not right. Yeah. I was like, when did I put a 67 on that truck? Now I want a 67.
Can you just reply to that post on TikTok with a link to this podcast?
Yeah, for sure. I'll do that.
That's awesome.
Corrections found here.
Right. And corrections, please see Excel spreadsheet for every modification. So the goal for the truck is, you know, to get a 10-second pass. So I believe the plan is eventually here this spring, come down, you know, to Illinois, get to the track there, because I can't use the track here because I will get kicked out. Kind of test and tune it, dial it in, get the 10-second pass that it's always supposed to have. And then, you know, enjoy it. You know, there, you know, the Mexico scene is pretty big, and nobody expects it out of a truck. And then you hear those turbos, and you're like, what the fuck is that?
So
you know, so maybe take it to Mexico. Oh, yeah, I mean, it's not. I mean, I didn't drive it before because I was so paranoid it was going to emo itself.
But it emoed itself.
It did anyway. You know, yeah. I should have been driving it. You know, at first I was like, well, at least it didn't blow a rod through a block, right?
That's true.
Well, it doesn't matter anyway.
Would have been cooler if you did.
Yeah.
Right, that's what I'm saying. That, you know, I should have, you know, bent every rod, you know, thrown everything through put a big old window in it. Instead, it's just a giant paperweight that it's just not, you can't do it. It's not cool. You know, it didn't even blow up cool. It didn't even blow up cool. You know, I drove it 6 hours from here to there, and, you know, it got great fuel mileage. It ran great. You wouldn't have known it had any issues.
Sure. Well, you know, it wasn't using just fuel.
Coolant. Well, it was just the coolest.
Using coolant. Oh shit. So yeah, I mean, the truck's not going to sit. I'm not going to revive LV7 KD. That's not going to happen. Will there be more truck content? Probably. I do really like doing burnouts.
Well, I mean, but it's a cool truck, and I think the one thing I don't agree with you on, and like I get offended by it, and I don't even know why I am, but. Yes, it's a truck that you haven't really done much to in 10 years, but I think it says a lot about just the vision of the truck and the build of the truck, because it's still very modern in today's standards. And there's a lot of people, a lot of enthusiasts that would aspire to have a build like this. Like, it is a really cool well thought out, well put together setup that, you know, like you mentioned a minute ago, like it still gets good mileage. It's still every bit of a drivable truck.
Are you mansplaining to Katie right now why her truck is cool?
It's pretty
Please
cool.
do. Listen, I love when men explain things to me. You know, I am just a woman.
Well, we do it slower to you.
Do I know what head studs are? Yeah, you know, injectors, what is that? What's a girdle? Is that needed? You know? Yeah. So I do enjoy the mansplaining, you know?
Well,
it's
we
great.
Tried to talk about
it.
The color of the truck as much as we could so you would have something to be an expert on.
It's just one
yeah,
of those
thank
things.
You. Thank you.
Is, Paul's a fuck, but all I'm getting at is it's a multifaceted, versatile truck, and that's what, you know, as we as diesel enthusiasts talk about, like, oh, streetability, drivability, like, your truck is the staple and the forefront of that, and it's been that way for years.
It really is. And Chris, I'm giving you a hard time because you're being all genuine and honest, and it makes me awkward when you're being so truthful.
You don't know how to be a human? Right.
Well, like, you know, I do, ish. But no, it is a very cool fucking truck. We really do encourage all of our listeners to go and check it out. Katie, what is your real, I've been joking about your Instagram handle. What is your real Instagram handle so our listeners can go and find this?
It's 2JZ Katie.
There you go.
It used to be LV7. We've changed that. We're in the 2JZ game. So just change the handle to a different engine code, and you'll find me.
There you go.
There you go.
There you go. Awesome. Cool. Katie, thank you so much for joining us today. I know I've really enjoyed talking with you, and I know our listeners are going to love this episode.
But thanks for having me.
Not a problem. Guys, for today, this has been Paul Wilson.
And Chris Hemke.
Thanks for listening. Thanks for joining us today, guys. This has been Paul Wilson.
And Chris Hemke.
Make sure to like and subscribe, and we'll talk to you again soon.
What's the ground rules? Am I allowed to swear?